ugly inside and out. The demons are angry again. These quite medically obese demons that apparently are at risk for comorbidity death by COVID. So it's kind of sad. They are railing against the new abortion laws that took place in Texas that essentially honors a heartbeat as a human life. Crazy enough, it's always the ones, you know, you notice that are not likely to get laid that are complaining about not being able to kill their own children. It's kind of weird. You have to actually have sex to get impregnated. So they're kind of skipping a few steps here. And it's also weird, too. You just think it's weird. It's very unfeminine, like, to be a woman and to want to fight to kill your kid. We got this and a lot more weird stuff coming up here on Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV with your top 17 host, me, Elijah Schaefer, who's been bumped to top 18. I know you read the title of the show and you're thinking this is going to be a weird one. And it is. And to talk, of course, about this strange topic, nothing better than weird families than another weird family here. I have my wife, Kezia Schaefer, who's here. Welcome back to Slightly Offensive. It's been a while.
Thank you, darling.
You got that that Jerry Maguire look going on.
Who is he? Who is that man?
It's a movie. I think that's actually a movie. You know the Tom Cruise where he comes in and he's got that white t-shirt? Anyway.
Oh, it's sliding through the thing.
I think so, yeah. Jerry Maguire.
What can I say? I like to play many roles.
Oh, we know role playing is something we do well. I also brought in none other than the resident laryngitis dad from the last episode. Welcome back to Slightly Offensive.
Hey, thanks, Elijah. And here I am on a show called Slightly Offensive when I'm one of those people who try to be the least offensive as you possibly could be. But, you know, hey, maybe I've got a balance to bring on here today.
Oh, well, 100%. So I don't know if you saw this. There's a new development, and I want to get your opinion on this. I know, are you familiar with TikTok, the app TikTok?
Yes.
Okay, so obviously people are protesting. We can put back on the screen. There was this abortion bill that was passed in Texas where now after 6 weeks, you cannot kill your child in the womb. I want to remind you that back as early as 2015, that Biden, the most popular president in U.S. history, actually said he was willing to accept that life started at conception, right? And things have very much changed. The ACLU is suing Texas because they're saying that this is against women's rights and reproduction rights. The Supreme Court backed the case. I think we have now the most restrictive abortion laws in the country, as well as on September 1st, we just took away all license requirements to carry a firearm. So we actually are getting back to our roots here. But if you put those people on the screen, I mean, you look at these people and they always just are, they're angry, they're visceral, and they're obese. What are your thoughts on this? I know you're a pastor. What do you think about this?
Okay, well, these ladies, obviously, they've got their political view and their idea about abortion. And so it really has nothing to do with their weight. And of course, they're not all overweight either. But the point is, you know, they're trying to stand up for something that they think is right, but obviously it's wrong because, yes, it's right to understand that your body is your own, but once there's a child in there, it's his or her own as well, too, so it's both of yours. And so, you know, I think they're obviously, sadly, misled, even though some of them might be nice ladies, you know, to work with somewhere. But I think that that whole law thing going on in this state and now maybe Florida might be looking at it. And then, of course, a lot of people are, creating a lot of uproar over it. And I think that what it really is it's truth. And people don't understand truth in our time. It's science. It really is proof. I mean, there's a heartbeat there. And so when everybody can, you know, just shout and say whatever they want to say. But if you actually sit down one-on-one with some of these ladies in a conversation, can they really answer the fact that this is a human life and that science has proven and that even after 4 months and something, babies have been delivered. And so even though this is 6 weeks and I understand, you know, how they feel like things are being pulled out from under them, but I think that obviously those who believe that abortion is wrong, this is a very serious issue and there's an excitement if this can still go forward.
But they're wearing masks outside. I mean, these people are clearly, they're not very bright either.
Right.
I mean, that's always the people that right. are for abortion. They don't even understand COVID. They're wearing masks outside. They clearly don't understand anything about life or what's going on in conception. And they're just angry. And they also dye their hair colors that repel men. So it's just, it's really, it's hard to look at. It's hard to listen to.
Right. But masks could be for optics. You know what I mean?
It always is.
To look good to their base. It's like, hey, we're wearing our mask, even though obviously from another point of view, you're going, hey, why are you wearing masks outside? So yeah, I understand.
I'm asking that same question. You also notice too that, you know, I know he says that the obesity has nothing to do with it, but there's a physiognomy check with these people that they usually are ugly on the outside. People who are ugly on the inside, you don't see beautiful people doing things like this.
But do you know what else is something else that I've really been thinking about a lot is I have never in my life met a feminist or a radical nasty woman like this who did not suffer with anxiety and depression. And they wear it proudly, like, yes, I have anxiety or depression. They're all miserable people. And I really think it makes sense you're miserable, because if you don't even believe like the most innocent little life, a little baby in the safest place that it should belong in the mother's womb is not innocent, is like we can kill it, all this sort of stuff. Of course you're miserable. If that's what you think of an innocent baby, I can only imagine what you think about yourself. You think, oh, men and women can change. I can be a man if I wanted to, or whatever. Their whole identity and value of life is so rotten that of course they could not even value their own life if they can't even value the innocent baby. So of course you're miserable. Of course you have anxiety and depression. Of course you do. Of course you're hideous, because the inside always reflects on the outside. I feel like
I'm just trying to protect myself from you.
But
you know what? I don't want to lose her point though.
What?
Okay. Yeah. That the inside always reflects the outside. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously everybody looks different. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. So obviously somebody might say, oh, that person's pretty or that person's ugly. But obviously even within Christianity and the church and other, you know, ways of thinking, people have all different kinds of looks. And so I really personally don't think the looks come into it. But sometimes when you are upset and when you are bitter or those kinds of things, it does play itself out on your face, and you get a bitter looking face. You get an unkind looking face.
Yes, but also, like, you'll notice a lot, like women who have been through sexual abuse or they've gone through a really bad breakup, they'll often go to the hairdresser and do something radical and change their hair.
Yeah, like, put them up on, put them on the screen. They all have the purple
there
hair.
There is something about an outward appearance and the hair, especially with women, that reflects what's going on the inside. If a woman was raped or something horrible happened to her, she might go and chop off all her hair or whatever. And you see, every time you see a woman with half a head shaved or bright colored hair, you can almost 100% say, I know exactly what opinions she has about politics and whatever. I know that she probably has a bad relationship with her dad, and you can test it, and it's almost 100% accurate, because people really do, the way that they present themselves, the way they do their hair and dress, really, really does reflect something that goes on the inside.
Well, but oftentimes it is the company you keep and the culture you're in. And so you're trying to fit in with friends. And so that can be true.
No, they're all,
I mean, people do a lot of things.
Objectively, leftists are all just disgusting and ugly. It's just true. It's not,
obviously opinion.
No. It's not a joke. They're always, I know you have to say this as a pastor, but they are
it's not
ugly
true.
And they feel rejected.
I'm saying it because it's right.
No. They are, and I'm telling you this, look at, I mean, they're even mad at this. Check this out. Go to my screen here. They're mad at, you know, Sweetgreen, the salad chain, Sweetgreen. They're mad at the owner of the Sweetgreen. The Sweetgreen CEO is criticized because he connected the pandemic to unhealthy eating, and now he's being labeled as incredibly fat phobic, and the chain is being criticized for promoting healthy
food.
Give
me a break.
Remember when Michelle Obama was, that's what I'm saying, these people are ugly. They want you to be fat and disgusting. I'm telling you, their ideology, they promote fatness, they tell you not to shave.
They twist
tell you not to
what beauty
makeup.
Is. They want you to
they
say.
They hate it.
Obesity is beautiful. They want you to think what they are is beautiful. And of course, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. There's some people who might go, oh, he's very handsome.
Yeah, not all
so
ugly
much.
People are leftists, but they like to prop up the uglier you are and the weirder you
look. And
they want
you to prop think
okay, so
up.
That might be true, but since the majority of Americans, and even though I might not look it on TV, I'm definitely at least 20 pounds over. Okay, so the point is, and I know good. That you've had your times, Elijah.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So the point is that, yes, some people might try to take something that people work on or something that is bizarre and try to promote it as far as this is the way life should be. Mm-hmm. And definitely, I mean, health is an important thing. And I'm sure that most people that I know that are overweight, except they're busy with life or their concerns, and they can never get around to, you know, that which is important, as all of us procrastinate. So it's really not, you
but
know.
But those people you're talking about, John, those people you're talking about who's just like, gosh, they're slammed at work. They can't, you know, they don't know how to cook healthy meals for themselves. They can't make it to the gym. Those people aren't saying, hey, look at me, I'm beautiful, and you have to think that I'm beautiful. There's a certain kind of person.
These people are loud and proud about
their health. I haven't seen a video on that. I haven't seen people do that.
No, because they go like, I can recognize. But there are people who say, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, but you have to call me beautiful, even if you don't think I am.
Let's go to this. Let's go to Bimbography. Go to this. Let's play video number 10.
Welcome to Bimbology 101. I'm your Professor Bunny, and let's get right into it. Be covering quite a few topics, so stay with me. We've talked about fatness and bimbohood before and how fatness is seen as the failure of femininity and bimbohood is the satirization of femininity. So when we look at these two things together, being a fat bimbo could be seen as a reconstruction of femininity.
See?
Therefore, we're empowering ourselves with a construct that was sculpted to humiliate and oppress us, but now it's being used by marginalized groups to cement their identity in a culture that was not meant for them.
She could be teaching
people. So because we're using it as a reconstruction of what femininity is, you can also see this as a reconstruction of gender itself, which is incredibly exciting.
Being fat is being feminine. They're connecting it with being beauty.
Yeah.
That's the push in the culture now is to take unhealthy behavior. For instance, like the CEO, go to my screen, says, vaccines and masks won't save us from the pandemic, Jonathan Neiman wrote, but the Sweetgreen CEO has a solution to outlaw junk food. He actually is saying he wants people to be healthy, and he's being called mean and
right,
and
I have a problem with that.
And online, on TikTok, they promote it's fat positivity, that they say as a woman that femininity is actually being ugly, and that's why they put the ugly to the front.
Okay, here's the thing.
So it's true.
I understand.
And sometimes
it's a backlash
myself
on the culture, because you know the whole princess thing, and you're my princess, and a lot of girls do not feel like a princess, or they haven't looked like a princess, and even though they were a sweet girl and they're somebody's daughter, and so a lot of times women want to feel good about themselves, mm-hmm. and so they will, you know, say things that are positive or confident, but I totally understand the idea of going against health and just saying this is okay. I understand there's a balance in there somewhere, and that can be totally out of balance.
Well, that's the thing. Savannah, you know this is true, right? I mean, this took place in Austin, and you're fully aware that this, we've seen this too much, right? Is that it's not about allowing ugly people to exist, because unfortunately, you know, I didn't get hired for my face, so we're not there. But it's like the fact that it's true, right? When you go to the protests, they are on the lower end of the totem pole of people where they, actually what's funny is they could look better. We're not making fun of their genetics. It's that they intentionally try to look gross.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's there's because something they're trying true to fight the patriarchy by not being feminist, mm-hmm. or feminine. So that's why they have long armpit hair. That's why they stink. They're trying to become men, mm-hmm. because they're trying to take back this masculinity, mm-hmm. and they're trying not to be feminine as a way to fight back against the patriarchy. But in reality, it's just gross. Mm-hmm. It's gross.
Okay. So I can see, because I've heard you say this before, and I know that when you look at things that were going on in Oregon and the people who are doing the things and everything, that I understand that sometimes people, they find their niche and they find their place because they didn't fit in real well over here, and maybe they were rejected over here. And so then they, fall into this evil pattern. And I understand that sometimes a person's looks can have a play in their lack of confidence and who they might connect with to feel some encouragement or some sort of affirmation. So I understand that that can happen. And I know that, if there was somebody, a parent or a friend that was saying, hey, you know what, you're great, and you don't have to get into this to be affirmed. And that, you know, it really isn't about all of these things, the outward appearance. It really is about the person of the heart. That would be great if somebody in their life could say that.
But China knows this. Go to my screen here. China realizes the effect of Western culture and wokeness pushing non-normal standards. China is banning men that it sees as not masculine enough from appearing on TV. They are worried about the feminization of men and pushing non-traditional beauty standards and physical standards for people, that they see this as a threat to men as influence. And China, in this is from the Associated Press, says that in Beijing, China's government banned effeminate men on TV and told broadcasters Thursday to promote revolutionary culture, broadening a campaign to tighten control over business and society and force official morality. And that they see is that we are pushing, that they say that American media is pushing gayness. They're pushing masculinity with women and femininity with men. And that's what they're pushing to the forefront. And that's why I had to point it out, is because it used to be that you'd want a spokesperson who had appeal. And now the appeal is to make you disgusting, depressed, yeah. You own nothing. And that's what they push to the front. And they actually say like fat girls to the front,
yeah.
Which is like, well, we could see you no matter where you were.
It's
actually,
like bad behavior is celebrated. If you're obese and you're fat, that's bad behavior. And we're going to celebrate it. Well, if you're transgender, bad behavior. Let's celebrate. Let's watch a show about a transgender. Let's watch a show about all this.
You know, every single time we go shopping, what do the mannequins look like now? They're all obese. All of the models nowadays are obese.
Even Target.
Yeah.
Everywhere,
so it's celebrated.
They're figgly wiggly hanging out their side.
But you know,
we're celebrating obesity and unhealthiness.
Wait, can we play this? I understand, yeah. But getting back to that, you know, China thing for their TV, and I read the article actually, and there were other things too besides what they called the sissy men. And so we can understand, you know, you're going, okay, here they are. They're a militant country and they're trying to, you know, promote this strength. And then our country at the same time is looks like it's on a downward spiral as far as any optics go. So I don't like the fact that there's not the freedom and that they're taking people's freedom away. And I understand that obviously men come in all kinds of personality forms, and it doesn't mean that they're not manly. It doesn't mean they're not a man. And so I'm totally against where, you know, a government, and which obviously that's what their government is about, because mm-hmm. it's a different form of government than ours. But I'm against a government controlling that really shouldn't be the case. And even though ours has gone maybe way overboard, I mean, I'm glad that people at least have a freedom to be themselves.
Mm. Right. But here's the thing is that obesity used to be condemned.
Yeah.
Sam, I'm so excited for this video.
Let's go ahead and let's reminisce back to the old days when people used to understand the dangers of obesity.
Oh my God.
You need to stay here when she leaves, because we're going to put you in the insane asylum. 7 a.m., 4 or 5 donuts while she's cooking breakfast. What did she have for breakfast? A 7-egg omelet with 1.5 cups of cheese. She put a full bell pepper, a full onion, and a full package of ham in it. Then she ate 4 or 5 potatoes that she made into hash browns with another full pepper and onion. And that held her for 45 minutes, which is probably what it took to eat it. And then she had 4 corn dogs dipped in nacho cheese and a full-size bag of potato chips.
This is crazy.
And you're right. She had
a couple
of strawberries.
Extremely obese.
Yeah,
she got to get that fruit in there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that held her till 11 o'clock. Now she had 3 sandwiches with ham, cheese, mayo, tomato, cucumber, avocados, croutons, bacon bits, and ranch dressing. And she said, this is where I get my vegetables.
She had tomatoes and avocados smeared in mayonnaise
with croutons and bacon bits. Now we get to lunch. She has a large pepperoni pizza.
Where's
then
that
at
lunch?
1 o'clock,
oh,
she has snack
gosh.
Number 3, 2 bowls of ice cream with caramel and whipped
Matter
cream.
Mind you, this is by 1 p.m.
And
we're only at 1 p.m. here.
She has a hand-sized bag of M&Ms. Then at 2, she had 2 bacon cheeseburgers, a box of mac and cheese, and 3 bananas. At 3 o'clock, she had 6 avocados made into guacamole and a full-size bag of tortilla chips. For dinner, she had
It's serious. We got to keep going.
A whole box of
Draw the point home. Bring
potatoes,
it home.
Yeah, just keep
then
it going.
Then at 10, a bag of pepperoni. And along the way, she drank 1 gallon of sweet tea and 6 candy bars.
Okay, can I just say so? I want to point this out here is that my point is that is extreme obesity. Mm, but number one, first of all, besides the obesity, who can afford to eat that much food? That's all making a lot of money.
That's $300
worth of food. No, but the point is that I'm saying, like, yes, we understand that this is an extreme case and most people are not like this. And that's not what we're talking about is extreme obesity. That's an addiction. That's a health. That is not just a health issue. That's a mental disorder.
Or a crisis.
When you're in that position, you're going to die in your 40s from a heart attack because of your eating. Mm. That's a different issue. But there's a normalcy where a lot of us fluctuate with weight and things, and a lot of us have power and control over our identity. And that's what we're preaching is telling people, you have power over yourself to take care of yourself, mm-hmm. to control yourself, to control what you eat. And now we're living in a society that everything that could be good, makeup that could make you look a little more beautiful, as a guy working out that could make you look fit, eating a salad, anything that's helpful, that genuinely could remove your depression, is being demonized to the point where I'm laughing because there's an there's a liberal page called Fats posting their L's on Twitter, which is, but it's people like on Twitter surprised, like, as much as I don't want to admit it, I found out that my back pain was from being sedentary on the couch. And I started walking every day and my back pain went away. Meaning there are people who are believing this, like, oh, we don't need to walk. That's just diet culture.
Well, not only that,
they're suffering from this.
Yeah. And they also are telling people now that if you work out and go to the gym, you're fat phobic or you have muscle dysphoria as a man if you want to get swole or be fit. So we're telling people now, like, hey, you're a bad person if you don't want to be fat. If you don't want to be obese, you're what's wrong in society.
Okay, now I haven't heard that one yet, but I'm sure somebody's saying.
But you know, even there's a lot of, I follow a lot of very fat girls on Instagram who are like body positivity influencers, whatever. And every time, if they do, they rarely ever go to the gym, but if they do, or they post a picture in their workout gear or something, they always put like, this is just something that I'm doing, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm not trying to go to the gym to lose weight. It just helps with like my mental health. Like, they have to put so many disclaimers because people will come after them and say, why are you trying to lose weight? Like, you're perfect just the way you are. You absolutely shouldn't change. Like, don't you think you're beautiful? Don't you think fat is beautiful? Why would you go to the gym to try to lose weight? So that if they exercise, they have to say, I'm doing this because when I exercise, it helps me with my mental health. It helps me just feel better. But it's absolutely not to do with losing weight because absolutely I'm beautiful the way I am.
Well, okay, Kezia, as we know, there's the idea of weight. Obviously, if somebody's in a wheelchair and there's not a lot else to do, you know, you might gain some weight. If somebody had some sort of a surgery and you couldn't get up and walk about and you were down for several months.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of things that are contributing factors to weight.
And I certainly agree with just encouraging people like that and not shaming them like, oh, you put on weight since you're...
But I mean, it's a good thing that we do have things in society that can keep us safe, like a face mask.
Yeah, right? And I gotta tell you guys this. As you might have... I know you guys didn't notice this was the Easter egg in the show, but I was wearing a face mask for about 10 minutes of the show. Did you notice?
I did.
did you notice?
I know you did it to be silly.
Did you notice?
It was very
sneaky. It's not true. I saw right through.
Did you notice? Okay, well, guys, if you saw that, there's a chance that your IQ is very high. Because you notice things and that makes you bright. That's what the leftists would say. But I do want to tell you about the new sponsor of the show, Fake Mask USA, which, by the way, is being attacked by the left. I wear these on, this is actually the double incognito mask. These are 100% fake masks, but are also 100% compliant with all orders of to put a cloth over your face. This is technically a cloth. It literally does nothing to protect you from anything. I want to warn people from that. This has no medical benefit at all and possibly has no use, but it gets you onto planes and stuff. It really does. This is the double one. I recommend buying two masks. If you have to go on planes or travel, I hate masks. I think they're stupid and this company does too. But sometimes to get onto planes and stuff, you literally just can't go on because they're tyrants. So this is the double incognito. This actually works too if you're a server and your company makes you wear one or whatever. So you can put this one on and then I take this off and the one in the picture is the incognito. And so then it's literally just like a clear piece. And then there's actually even one that's worse. That's just called like in your face one. And it's just like invisible. So there's that. And these don't do anything. And I got to tell you this also, that these are offensively fake, but they're real, that you can buy at fakemaskusa.com. Use promo code TheBlaze. And what's really important is that PayPal got mad at them. This is a true story. This is kind of like a news story. PayPal got so pissed at this company. It's run by a veteran. It's a novelty item. It's a joke because, I mean, even the blue face masks say on the box they don't protect you from coronavirus. That's their own claim that they say. And a recent study said that masks at most maybe help 10% with mitigation. These guys like, okay, well, then if it's not working and you even in Oregon, you have to wear masks outside, let's just make something stupid to just say F you to the libs. And PayPal got mad and took all their money out of their account the other day, like $90,000, and is holding it because they're claiming damages to their company's like reputation or something like that. And he's just a veteran. They stole the money and he doesn't care. He's going to keep selling them and using a different processor.
Good for him. What a boss.
Good for him. Go to fakemaskusa.com right now. Fakemaskusa.com. Use promo code TheBlaze, TheBlaze, to get 10% off your entire order, including apparel, bottle openers, decals, tumblers, etc. It's fakemaskusa.com, promo code TheBlaze. And I'm telling you, I actually use these and this is the funniest things. I have to fly and that's the only time I will honestly wear one. And they look at you in the face and they go,
Well, there's been a couple times where we've been on the plane wearing those and the stewardess will come up and be like, hey, like, where did you get those masks? And we're like, let's tell you.
I know. And that's why it's kind of, it's like an ad slash a bit, because I actually just wanted this because I know that a lot of people too, like people go, oh, are you promoting masks? No, masks are stupid. I don't wear them in airports or anything, but literally some jobs, like you is either vaccinated or masked or whatever. And so people end up getting stuck wearing these for different things. The ultimate thing is don't wear them. And if you don't want to wear a mask, then don't, and you shouldn't. But in these situations where people are like, I don't want to get vaccinated, I have to wear a mask or whatever, or at school or something stupid like that, these are a good alternative.
And he does that because of his body image. He wants people to still be able to see his nose and mouth. But getting back to that subject, I do want to say that this one scripture says that bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. And godliness is love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, you know, good characteristics that are godly. And so I think if people would focus more on good characteristics and being a little more like the Lord was, then, you know, maybe the physical exercise wouldn't be as important, but it doesn't take away its importance. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and just looking at my life over time and probably your families and even mom, you know, she took classes. She was a Zumba teacher. And over the years of having babies and then your weight going up for a while because, you know, you can't, you know, you have to nurse all these things and you can't immediately lose the weight. And then the work that it took to bring it down and then another baby and weight going up and then, you know. So she definitely, we have some pictures of a big mama and of a little mama.
Big mama, little mama.
But, you know, she did care. And that's all I was happy about because I think that, okay, and of course I'm generalizing, my daughter probably wouldn't necessarily like this, one of my daughters, about men. But men tend to think that women are pretty that have a shape or a figure. And so I would say, okay, and yet when they marry a woman, obviously there's going to be some weight issues if you have children and if you just eat food and you know, just different things that happen in life. And so I think that the issue isn't, you know, your focus in your marriage, your weight, and I'm never going to love you again and you until you lose weight. And so we have to, you know, be careful to know that, you know, truly it's the godliness that's the most important, even though the body counts, the body does count. And so on that issue of weight loss, I remember mom was teaching Zumba. And at one point, because she had cancer for 8.5 years, and so she was on a feeding tube and she taped the feeding tube to herself and taught Zumba. Probably the only woman in the history of the world, I think, that's ever done that. But she obviously had some very difficult points where she couldn't do that.
But the point is like, is that this, go to my screen here, is that this promotion of stuff is saying, so I'm too fat to draw blood from. This is not funny, actually, because they have like the donut in the bio. I mean, in their name is what makes it interesting. That they're like a pro. So they are getting a specialist, a milestone that's beyond unexpected. I think this is someone force feeding to try to intentionally get fat, I believe, right, Savannah? This is force feeding.
Yeah. You know, and you know what, too, to your dad's point, because, you know, he wants to keep it biblical. I like how this whole show is like us trying to get him to bully fat people kind of thing. But, you know, the Bible does talk about,
trying to get a pastor to bully fat people for 60 minutes straight.
Yeah. But like the Bible does.
Never.
The Bible does talk about gluttony a lot. And I think that's what we're really focused on here.
It doesn't talk about gluttony a lot. People say
But I would say, I think the issue
the book
that
of gluttony?
That I have. I don't, if someone is like how you said, even Elijah and I in our marriage, there's been times where we've put on a bit more weight and then like fluctuate.
Right.
That is so normal. And I don't think we should go around shaming people for that. Mm-hmm. What it is, it's more of the attitude of I'm morbidly obese and you should think I'm pretty. Yeah. You shouldn't think that I'm lazy. Don't give me advice. If you telling me that people get mad, the doctor says, hey, like, oh, you can't draw blood. Hey, you need to lose weight. It's actually dangerous because being really overweight can cause health complications. Going, that's fat phobic. How dare you? Don't shame me for my body. Don't pretend like you care about my health. You're just trying to fat, like shame me and things like that. There's this attitude of I'm perfect just the way I am. I shouldn't have to change my body. I shouldn't have to lose weight to be considered beautiful or to be considered healthy. I'm healthy just the way I am, which is blatantly
they're convincing themselves that.
Yes.
But deep down in their heart, they don't believe
that. Exactly.
They reshape reality.
Yeah.
So that's the point. Is like, that's why we point out when we say on this show that they're ugly inside and out, it's because, not because it's like, I'm not claiming that I'm that good looking and I fluctuate in weight. It's to tell them to the point to remind them, you're not good looking. Mm-hmm. Stop pretending like neon colored hair is a good look. It's not a good look.
You can't redesign reality. Okay,
so the thing is, we can
remind
feel
you
better
that you
about
have jiggly wigglies popping out of
here's
your
the thing, Elijah.
Hoopa.
We can feel better about ourselves sometimes when we try to get everybody on our side and thinking like us. So we can feel better about ourselves. But the thing is this whole idea of weight and you know, dealing with it, it has to do with the word moderation, and it has to do with the word self-control. Now, a lot of people think there's really no such thing as self-control, because all of us have had the times where we're eating the extra Oreos or the extra crackers or something like that, and I'm sure. But there is a truth that even though sometimes we go beyond self-control and we mess up, yet it is something that is a godly characteristic that we can learn, and we can even say, hey, God, please help me with self-control. And so there's been many times in my life where I've needed that. And then the idea of moderation is that we remind ourselves, it's like, okay, wait, here's extreme. I need to go a little bit more here in the middle, because I'm just kind of going overboard. But sometimes we need to swing the pendulum all the way over this way just because we've gone too much over this way. And that's where we, you know, get on some sort of a big health diet because of some big binge or something.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say this. This is kind of interesting here. Is people are really trying to define things. I'm going to go into some more TikToks here. People are even redefining relationships. So a lesbian and a gay guy got into a relationship. Gosh. I don't know. So it's like straight with
couple?
Extra steps.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go and let's play their commemoration video.
Hello, girl. Welcome. Here she is. She is here.
So I don't even want to roast these people, because actually this, we should be promoting that. It's good. They're going back to what they were designed to be, which is to be with man with a woman,
like,
a woman with a man.
You just can't help but being
drawn
to the opposite
sex. But maybe
sex.
That's the fix, because she's a lesbian and she likes femininity and he likes masculinity and he's a bit feminine. So they fill the void where he gets with a masculine woman and she gets with a feminine man. And at first I saw this, I laughed because I just thought, it's just so weird where we're at today. But then I thought, well, that's not, why would I be mad for someone going back to the way they were designed? Like, that might be the fix. And I never thought about that before. But maybe masculine lesbians go with feminine gay guys and they get out of it together. And that could be the thing.
Well, there's a lot that goes on in life about all of this. Like, your mom had 7 brothers. And you know, mom was a cheerleader, but she was also good at football, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I had 4 sisters. And so, you know, and apparently she could see certain traits in that manner. But the point is that, you know, people are raised different ways, people's personalities, people's, you know, certain things come off a certain way. And I think you're right. There is a positive thing there, because I'll tell you what, a lot of people do want to get married. A lot of people do want to have love for life. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't want to be in and out of relationships all the time. And so, when they see the traditional or the biblical, whichever you want to call it, form of life, they know when they look at their parents, or they know when they remember their grandparents, that it was something that was good. It was something that worked. And this over here is still a little confusing. In and out of it is a little confusing. And so if they could just kind of bring the balance into their life, but they can still kind of be themselves, you know, it maybe helps them or blesses them in some way. And so nobody should be against it, though I bet a lot of people are really mad and against it, but I think that, hey, you know, if they are going to love each other, right? Mm-hmm. And but it should be good love there, and they could even have some production from
nothing gay about being straight.
Yeah. Well, that's what I've always said. No, but I think it's, I do see what you're saying. Like, I guess just, it's like gone full circle and coming back
so it's
to,
like,
being straight. But it is a little bit weird, because I do think
it looks weird.
It looks weird, but I'm curious to know more. I'm curious
I want
to
know more.
See the more of the details. Like, who's the breadwinner in that relationship? Who is the one that, like, women love to be chased and they have a desire to be admired and loved. And men, I think, love the chase. So
some people are chubby chasers, as we talked about earlier.
Oh,
you were a chubby chaser for a little while.
Well,
I packed on. It was McDonald's at 3 a.m. in foreign cities and on the road. And I packed on more than just a double chin there. And she was like, she loved her squishy boy, huh?
Yeah.
But don't forget Whataburger at 3 a.m. the other day.
Yeah, we did do that.
But
we
that's
did.
Normal.
Yeah, that's sort of.
I said in other towns.
Yeah.
That's here in Dallas.
But so that's the thing. Hey, no, John, you were the one who's
the
calories
don't
judgment.
Count if they're here. The yeah,
Whataburger, Whataburger is a cultural staple of our society.
That is true.
Macca's is not. That's not. But okay, but so that's I guess conclusion, Savannah. Conclusion, it's weird but good. Yes? Weird but good?
Yeah, we did a 360. I'm not mad about it. It's weird, but I guess it's better than what we were.
I need to know more. I need to know more about that.
Because as people get older, they were young too. Mm-hmm. As people get older and then they have kids, mm-hmm. and some of that femininity, because they're going to some event, and some of that masculinity because they're raising their sons and their sons are going to be in some sort of program or sport or something. And so some of that just comes from maturity. There was a famous, and I just don't even know the name of it, but it was where Jethro from the Beverly Hillbillies, not Jethro, the father, the father talking to his daughter. What was the father's name in the Beverly Hillbillies? I know you guys are young, but
I don't know anyway. Who those fellows are.
Clampett. His name was something, Jed Clampett. And his daughter, Ellie Mae, if you look it up on YouTube, Jed Clampett and Ellie Mae, where he's talking to his daughter, and he explains to her about being more feminine because she would wrestle with her brother, and yet she's a young adult. Mm. And so he was trying to bring some femininity to her. Mm. And it is the best discussion of a father talking to a daughter on that level that you've ever heard. And it was done on TV. And so I think what it shows you, if you can ever play that video on your program, it's so awesome. But what it shows you is that a lot of times people do need to talk to their parents and have respect for their parents in it. It's not judgment, but respect and love and understanding that certain things are good to know and good for you as far as development.
I think if this couple did have kids, it would be very interesting to see. Imagine they had a young boy and the gay dad who's married to the lesbian mom. How would he teach his son to be a man?
Well, okay, listen.
That would be weird.
But if they're married, they're no longer holding to that position if they're going to be faithful to one another.
But if he's gay, he's decided to be with a woman, but if he's gay, he still is sexually attracted to men.
Okay, but there can be inclinations, and when you talk to other
men,
he's
not really gay, and he found out that he likes masculinity.
It's the masculinity that he's attracted to, not the
I think that a lot of people who are gay, it's because a lot of times it's due to molestation, but also with dad issues, kind of with girls, daddy issues.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, overbearing moms, et cetera. And so probably wanting that masculine figure would be desiring to have like sort of that protector and that somebody that's stronger. Like you see, he's like a little limp-wristed,
but
like
still
thin
being,
boy.
Still wanting a woman.
Yeah, but still wanting a woman because you want the nurture. Because naturally, as a man, you do want to be the nurturer. That's why you see with homosexual couples, there's always like someone takes the more masculine, someone takes the more feminine role. Even with lesbians, there tends to be that sort of like interesting. I mean, there is a traditional like LA Western Hollywood gay that they're both buff dudes and they live in a nice, that's not everybody, but just oftentimes you see the relationships, there's that balance. And that's what I want to bring up, the weirdness is that, do you know about the incestual gay side of TikTok? Are you aware of that?
I do not.
No. I'm glad
you're
you
about
don't.
To find out.
I'm glad you don't. Okay, so go. We're not going to show anything. Don't worry if kids are watching. I don't know why kids watch the show, but
good to keep it slightly offensively safe.
Yes, we're not going to show you anything that's horrible. But I can thank my friend Kaylin Dalmeida. This is the first time that you didn't introduce me to something that shocked me.
I know. I'm waiting to see this as well.
So there are these brothers. You can put on the screen. There are these brothers. They're brothers, and they're apparently in a relationship. And I don't want to show you any more than this video. I think he's insinuating that he's going to go help him put his belt on or something. We keep it clean. There's more.
There is more videos. More videos. If I had to watch these, you guys have to watch them.
So there.
Oh my gosh! This is full blown gay. This is full blown homosexuality. Okay.
Full-blown homosexuality. That should be the title of the show. What do you think about this? What do you think about brothers and people being in relationships? This is a new trend. They're promoting incest, and it's becoming culturally relevant.
Families should not be doing that.
Yeah.
That's good. We're on the same page with that here.
But of course, if nobody's training them, but I think intrinsically in a person's heart, they know that this is my family, but it doesn't mean that there isn't temptation. So. And obviously I have known and have talked to people that have had things happen with siblings in families. So it's not that it doesn't happen, but somewhere along the line, you know, and I know that later on, that they do suffer some trauma as a result of it bothers them for years into their adult years because the other one or they both end up getting married or whatever. And so there's some things that go on, but obviously males and
females. But the boasting about it is what I wanted to bring up. The fact that this is not okay, a weird thing that happened. This is a brand.
It's almost like they're very proud about it.
Yeah, they're proud and pushing
shamelessly.
Well, I think that's because of media, and everybody has a platform, so we can boast over here on this idea and belief and on this idea and belief. So then there's like thousands of ideas of belief, just like we'll just say in the country of India, how in that religion, I won't say it so I don't hurt anybody, but that they have, you know, millions of gods.
Hindu.
And so promote everybody's gods. And so in this case, that's where America is coming. We're promoting everybody's gods.
Let's offend the Indians. The Babu. You know that one time Kezia, listen, Savannah, Kezia, you know, severely dyslexic. And she for some reason, typed the phrase, she went to say baby, and she said B-A-B-U, Babu. And so I just went, that's got to be something. And it turned out that Babu, what is it again? It's like an Indian man?
It's like a... Yeah, a phrase
like
for a strong
Indian man.
Like
a masculine Indian man.
Interesting.
And so and what's funny is that's now gonna be, it's a good phrase to call somebody because I can't actually, if I say anything else, we'll probably get taken off the air.
Yeah.
But I also would say that it's funny because she accidentally called me Babu, but her dyslexia turned me into a very strong Indian ethnic man, and I feel feel empowered.
It really turned into very good compliment at the end of it.
Okay, so let me say too,
or are you just
because I'm watching some of these videos, and like the one from China, or we're mentioning India, and of course I go to these different places on mission trips, and you're not really supposed to go there on mission trips, or for visits of friends or whatever the case is.
Someone called the CCP.
But I want to say that Kezia, before we started the show, had said that, you know, it's just going to kind of be lighthearted, and so basically she's calling me dad, you know, you need to laugh. And I go, Kezia, I have friends, my friend Pastor Fish and Pastor David and all these guys that we went to, this Christian comedian, and I'm not laughing at anything, and they're all like laughing, they're looking over at me, and well, especially Fish is going, why isn't he laughing? And it's like, because I'm a slow processor. And so it's like, you know, you tell me a joke and maybe 10 seconds later, I might laugh.
So it's like after the end of the entire episode, he's going to be like,
but
as soon as the cameras go off, he's going to laugh.
What I want to say about this one is because, I didn't know what we're really going to be talking about.
Yeah, I didn't know.
And I know what the name of my son's show is. So I do, you know, because
you never came across like you're making fun of anybody or bad. It came across like your son's teasing you and trying to get you to make fun of the Jiggly Wigglies. You haven't come across poorly at all. In the audience, let us know in the comments your support for LD, Laryngitis Dad, which his real name is John. But it's weird to call your dad John. He's a good guy. You know, the thing is actually that just shows you how like effed up all of our guests are, because like everybody's like, they just get the script and like, incestual gay brothers sounds legit. You know,
And my dad,
you know, that's what a normal person who doesn't work in the media is like, oh, this is not okay to be talking about this stuff. But in the media, we're so hard-hearted and we've been so jaded. You talked about this actually, about like how police, like their hearts get hardened. Mm. And so like when you're around all this stuff all the time, it's like how Savannah, it's like, a gay incestual TikTok sounds like a Friday to me.
Okay, and actually
we're indoctrinating the kids, no big deal.
Okay, yeah. I talked to my son about that because being in the media, you can become hardened to those things because you're talking about them all the time.
Yeah.
Where in the church, you get to see people ask the Lord for forgiveness and try to change. Mm-hmm. And even though they might have relapses, as everybody does, and different things, but you still see them with joy and see them with peace and see them with overcoming and, you know, heart of moving forward in their life. And so they're not just stuck in whatever it is. And so there's kind of an encouragement that I get to see where sometimes you're just seeing the stuff blatantly just right there.
Mm-hmm. We just see the nasties. It's like this. Like, I have to watch videos like this. So you do too. Play video 7.
Being a trans opera singer is kind of weird. Hello, everybody. Today, I will be performing Si Me Ves a Verde Zela by Ronaldo Hahn in C major.
Okay, all right. I just have to see stuff like that.
Was that really her voice?
Yes, it's a transgender. That's a man.
That's a man.
Okay.
So they can sing really low.
Yes, and I understand. Okay.
So how do you make sense of that? How do I make sense of this? I see stuff like this.
Is it wrong to giggle at that?
Is it wrong?
Seeing
is it immoral?
And going like,
evil for laughing?
Okay, like when kids are small and they're looking at they're looking at somebody because somebody has something obviously different about them.
Right.
And then you tell your kid, don't stare, even though it might be okay for the person if they go up to the person and say, hey, so how did you end up in this situation? Mm-hmm. And maybe, you know, there's a good exchange that can take place. But a lot of times our initial response is to something that throws us off guard or surprises us. We're like, we have an emotional response, whether it's a sad face or a laugh or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I just can't help but laugh, Savannah. Like, Savannah, we have become horrible, huh?
Yeah, you know, and I think it's because we've physically gone and faced these people at protests, at rallies, at Antifa events, and they've attacked us. They have tried to, you know, wish death upon us and our families. So it's like when we see these types of videos, we're like, ha, 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 yeah, you're a freaking weirdo.
Yeah, that video was an assault.
Yeah, that
actually.
It was kind of a crime. We just broke Kezia.
But you know, the thing is,
she
okay,
doesn't
listen,
even know how to
listen.
Process. She's just okay. Like.
But in church, okay, and I'm not even going to say anything because everybody is a sinner and everybody has their sins, right? Mm-hmm. But in church, you get to know people, and people do open up, and it's not just because you're counseling them, but because you're being friends. And you find out everybody has their angle, but everybody's not running toward being in, you know, some sort of anti-government group, or they're not running towards some of the things that you guys have had to deal with. So, but in church, you find that people have all of this kind of stuff too, mm-hmm. but
They're trans opera singers at your church?
No. But listen, listen. They're loving the Lord, but maybe in their background, they would have fully embraced that and went in that direction, and they still have that inclination or temptation.
Right.
But they're really, you know, trying to be pleasing as far as what they understand to be pleasing to the Lord.
No, you're right. And I'm going to tell you, the U.S. value system and American families have been under attack for a while. I mean, that's a very interesting situation there. But if you have a family or you're starting one or you're single, obviously, you know, YouTube starting in this, it's not easy to get health insurance, to move up in that. A lot of you guys don't have health insurance, or as you've seen, there's always a lot of personal costs that come to you. Even if you have good health insurance, you're not paying a lot out of pocket. And then I'm sure you've seen, you remember us breaking our arms and legs and stuff and getting taken to the emergency room. Yeah, and having these huge bills from the emergency room. So this is what I want to talk to you about, safetynet.club. So there's this really great community that you can join. Safetynet.club. Basically what happens is like, this is important. Obviously we just had a death. Mom died. And luckily she had, you know, life insurance, different types of things. We're able to pay the cost of funerals. They're expensive. We're still paying for things today, but I know, you know, in the church, a lot of people end up, you know, having GoFundMes and stuff to try to pay for their funerals. Well, when you join safetynet.club, this community, and you create a health safety net, not only do you get $10,000 accidental death and dismemberment insurance, which means that when you die, they give $10,000 like life insurance to your beneficiaries to help pay for your funeral costs. But also if you like lose a limb, which you've had, like Dolores, she just died too recently, but she lost her arm in an accident. People do, their eyes get hit, they get shocked, whatever things happen. You also get $10,000 then too to help cover costs for bills while you're in recovery waiting for disability insurance. But on top of that, you get access to all types of products that you can build your own health plan cheaply. So like for $15 a month, you can get accident insurance. So basically it covers the gap in your insurance. If you get into an accident, you get thrown into the emergency room, they'll cover that huge bill that you get for just $15 a month. So we're not talking about these are hundreds, thousands of dollars a month for these plans. You can customize your plan to kind of get what you need. A lot of people don't want to get long-term care and stuff in their plans when they're young or whatever. So this gets you to build your own community and your own safety net to protect yourself from things that can happen. So anyway, go to safetynet.club right now, get $10,000 accidental death and dismemberment insurance immediately and check out everything that they actually have and offer. I encourage you to check it out, as I have too. Go to safetynet.club. That's safetynet.club. Safetynet.club. Check it out. So as we get into this, no, you're right. Like I watch stuff like this and like, I watch stuff and I know that things are really bad in Australia and there's not a lot of good going on there in terms of the lockdowns and things that are happening. And so that's why I think humor and laughing too, and why people like this show, is we're not really making fun of people. We're just making fun of the reality of life and people are just characters. It's like a movie and we're laughing at it. And somebody made this great compilation. Is it, her name is Berzhiklian? The premier of New South Wales of Sydney, who's put some of the most extended lockdowns on the entire community. Somebody sort of put compilations of her voice together to kind of make her say things she didn't. And I can't help but have to share this video with you guys. Listen to this.
I'm a bit tired of hearing people saying,
I don't know
how to do my job properly. And I think that's really mean. I remember being criticised. Just remind everybody how criticised I was. That's not acceptable. I hope everybody likes staying at home because we are going to go into lockdown forever. Nobody from New South Wales is going anywhere. We will have 2 million police officers standing at the corner of every street to monitor every single citizen. We're really watching very closely. I hope this really will be devastating. We don't like to be heavy-handed, but what we need to say today now is that if you leave home, we will give you a death sentence. Please know that you will be shot in the face, and I hope it's painful. You are required to obey what we say when we say it, and if you don't, you can prepare to die. I've said from the outset, I don't care about your life and the life of those around you. I don't really give a shit. The government is now about to announce what we call the final solution. We are inspired by history and realize we can very easily permanently get rid of anybody thinking illegal thoughts. We aim to have absolutely zero freedom. Follow the rules or else you'll never be seen again. If you think you can live freely under our very strict and harsh regime, I have news for you. If you even consider breaking the rules, I will personally stab you in the head and rip your guts out. We have 24 hours surveillance of every single person in the community. We want to cause anguish, hurt and suffering to as many citizens as possible. Every day at 11 o'clock, every citizen in this state must listen to me. This is the Fourth Reich, and I will make sure that I never, ever, ever give up power till the day I die.
Do you know what is so... The funniest part about this is it actually is like real. Like she said, like if anyone has heard actual some of her whole statements about like, if you go to the grocery store, do not speak to your neighbors. Do not speak to anybody. Do not leave your house. Like it's pretty much is like that, which is so funny because she's basically.
She says your neighbors could be a threat.
Yeah.
Everyone's dangerous.
You should dob on your neighbors. Tell on everyone. You will go to prison. You will get in trouble, you will get fines. People are getting fines for not wearing their mask outside, for breaking curfew.
Yeah, they pepper sprayed children.
Police are showing up and arresting people. You cannot...
You go to the park.
Yeah, you can't do anything. So this is funny, but at the same time, it's like, dang, like, she really is saying that. Don't have any community. Don't talk with anybody. Don't leave your house. There will be punishments. The government will, like, it's so wicked, but that was hilarious. That
but
is
I'm
such a good
sure,
video.
I mean, it hits home with you because that's your home.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
Oh my gosh. But yeah. You know what? Even more than her, because obviously people can say things, people can do things, but they have that new app out in Southern Australia where only
passport.
About 20 people have it, and maybe more than that as of today, but where it's facial recognition and it has to do with your geological location. And so you don't have to quarantine like in a hotel, but you can quarantine at your house if you get this. Mm. And so the writing about it is that it's very Orwellian in the article that I read. And so the point is that they could, if they saw that you moved from your house, call the police to get you because, you know, you've
yeah, you have
left
to take,
your house.
You have to take a picture of your face. They're introducing that to prove where you're at for the government to be able to prove that you're quarantining, that you have to send them a picture of yourself.
It's by choice.
It's what they already do, though, with Uber, where you have to prove you have a mask on, which is why we can't use Ubers.
Aren't they going to just like randomly text people though, and they have 15 minutes to like send a picture of where they are?
Exactly.
Yeah,
they
it's just like
minutes.
A random text, and it's like, hey, where are you right
and they
now?
They can check the metadata so they know that if you're sending a fake picture or not.
Yeah.
And the government is, you know, known for having really stupid, solutions. Like for instance, it's like, this is not how you fight a virus. Mm-mm. San Francisco from Newsweek is now has an initiative to pay individuals to not shoot each other. You can get paid $300 a week if you're at risk of killing people for not killing them.
Wait,
and if
what?
And if you help out in the community, like pick up trash and stuff, you can get $500 a week.
Wait, so every day that I do not shoot someone in the face,
you get paid. Yeah.
I get $300.
Life hack, Kez. If you're falling on hard times, just go to San Francisco and threaten to shoot someone. Life hack.
And well, then also, don't actually go through.
Don't actually
the money,
do it.
The money thing also has to do with drugs too, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, they are.
In California, Gavin Newsom is also talking about paying people to stay sober.
Oh, wait, it's $300 each month, so it's not that good.
Oh,
I thought it was a week. I had it written down a week.
Still. I do have a thought about this issue. Okay, now, so this is going to sound weird at first, but I'm going to kind of get there.
All right.
Okay, so I've always said, just one of those zany, far-out ideas, you know, like, if you were, like, totally addicted to drugs, right? Mm-hmm. Most people that are really do want to come off of them or even alcohol or whatever because people feel so locked in. Mm. And so, but a lot of it has to do with motivation. Like I know somebody in my family who was told they had emphysema. Mm. And because of that, they stopped smoking. And even though I guess emphysema is not supposed to go away, all signs of it went away when they were huffing and puffing going up a little hill before.
No, you can reverse a lot of disease.
Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, they're fine now. But they had motivation because they didn't want emphysema that they were told that they had. And so I was saying, if somebody was like we'll say hardcore something, and you were to say, okay, I'll give you $1 million if you just stop for 1 year. Mm. But say they have a lot of situations where they need the money.
I think for a lot of people, even with how tied in they might be to whatever that addiction might be, that the motivation is high enough that they're like, oh, gosh, I could stop that for a year for this. Because, I mean, in our family, we had somebody who stopped something because they were pregnant and had a child. Mm-hmm. And that child was like that special gift that pulled them out
right.
of something.
I see what you're saying.
So I understand on the level of motivation that money can do something. But even though we know in society, it really isn't the way it's supposed to be. It's not governments paying people. It's obviously programs. It's obviously church. And it's obviously people convincing people and trying to help people get out of things. And so I don't think this is necessarily going to work because people are going to use the system.
I know, but it is. The article is here. It says California wants to become the first state to pay drug addicts to stay sober, specifically.
I don't think, but that's just rewarding. It's like, what about a young man who was raised by a drug addict mom and dad and this, and never got into drugs, worked really hard, had to bust his whatever to get ahead, to go to school, to really try. That's the kind of person I think should be rewarded with money, not the person who's like just fell down the hole. It's like, and also that's taxpayers' money.
It's $286,000 cost to 1,000 people.
I don't like how the government rewards people for not doing bad things rather than rewarding people for actually working hard.
It's what you said, Kezia. It's that the taxpayers that I think we forget. We just, because we create money and we can create trillions and all of that to cover everything for always, that people forget that it really all does have to be paid back until people think it doesn't have to be paid back anymore and until we're so in debt that the whole world economy collapses or whatever. But the point is that technically it is taxpayer money, and do we really want as people to pay into this and pay into that? And if we were able to vote on it, we probably would say no.
Yeah. Do you know what's even funnier about this is that as we got into more of the serious stuff at the end, you know, the fat stuff was not even in the script. We just, we weren't even supposed to do this about fat people. And this conversation turned into like half an hour about obesity and fat people.
Well, it's
ugliness.
Because obesity, if you're obese, you're, you know, more likely to be hospitalized for COVID. Mm-hmm. So we just care about people's health. And that's why we're talking about
this. We're just good people.
You don't really care about the health of anyone. You're just fat shaming them.
No, we're actually just really good people. We're just really good people. Ironically though, it's like, and that is true. It's like, now you see exactly what's going on. Anyway, the world is crazy. It is getting insane. I mean, there's a lot more we can continue to get into over time. But of course, I want to remind you guys that we have the new show starting. Mm. You are here Monday through Friday, live 6 p.m. Central. I believe it actually starts, if everything goes right and nothing bad happens and God lets us, next Thursday at 6 p.m. at the You Are Here youtube.com/You Are Here Daily. Or you can click the link in the bio or the pinned comment. And also a reminder, make sure you subscribe to this show too, because a lot of you guys watch the show and aren't subscribed, and it actually helps us. The more subscribers we get and the more you turn on that notification bell, you do receive notifications at least some of the time. Some of you do, some of you don't, because the videos you watch, they don't want you to know that you watch this show. I don't know. But make sure you subscribe and you follow it. The set is fancy. It's pretty. It looks good, right? And
it does. Nice. It looks nice. Can you put the link on your slightly offensive?
No, it
you're
is.
Trying to
yeah,
keep
the link
separate.
Is, no, the link is there.
Okay, yeah. So it's easier for people to find because you know we have
comment.
Some family that's older that's trying to figure out how
it's
they
in the
can
pinned
find
comment.
It.
It's in the description. And Grandma, I love you. I know you watch the show. And I'm sorry for trying to make your son talk bad about fat people, because we have fat people in our family and sometimes I've been fat and it's okay. We love it. We love fat people. Sorry, Grandma. That's always I always apologize to Grandma. Usually like try to do at least once.
But you know, I can hear her right now be like, that's okay, sweetie. It's totally fine.
I love Grandma
she
Lois.
Loves you.
I love you, Grandma. Anyway, make sure you do that. Also, don't forget to leave a 5-star review at Apple Podcasts on Spotify. I don't think you can there, but Google Play. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. A lot of you guys are like, you know, some of you guys are, you hold out and you're like, I don't want to buy these products and I won't become a member at Blaze TV. Okay, fine. This is a free way to help out. So if you don't leave a review, a 5-star review, that's okay too. But if you're an SOB, a slightly offensive backer, and you want to leave a review, it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. And you might have it read on the show. Don't forget also to be a member at Blaze TV. Eventually you're going to give in. We know that. We know it's true. Let's read these reviews. Review number one is from Trump One Bigly. That's his username, just so you know.
Oh.
Says, I finally did it, and I did it for you, Elijah. You know what? Thank you. I've always watched your content on YouTube, but today I finally switched gears and came over here to drop you a 5-star review. This has been months in the making for me. You are doing the Lord's work, dude. I really appreciate you and all you are doing. Thank you for being a voice of reason and comedy in an ocean of miserable insanity. Such a great content and an even better mission. You rock. You, so do all your friends. Keep on fighting. God bless and God wins.
See, that's lovely.
You know what? I told you some of you guys are like, it's such a mission to support the show that like it's taken months. You know, we're all on our different journey.
Right. No, and I know that maybe not on every program and not in, at every moment, but there are times where you're able to slip in some really good truth besides the comedy or besides the trying to show people how offensive the culture
is
becoming.
He's trying to say that he can be proud of me and not disappointed in today's show. Thanks, Dad. Also, review number two is Humanity's Strongest. Elijah and Savannah, you guys are awesome. Keep doing what you're doing. P.S. I will eat Elijah's butt.
What?
That's so gross.
Wait, rim. What? What?
They said they would eat my butt.
Okay, well, okay. To each their own.
Sorry, I never thought I'd say that in front of my dad. Anyway, thanks again so much for watching another episode of Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV. You can follow myself, Savannah, everywhere on YouTube. You can check out her YouTube channel as well. She has one of those. You can follow Kezia. Her link's in the description. We're not going to put my dad's social links. Please don't harass him. Anyway, have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.